We thank you, dear God, for looking after us all this week, Lord. As we come to this holy day, Lord, in this holy place, to lift you up and to praise you and to give you honor and glory. Lord, we thank you for all things. And Lord, we ask that this message is brought forth today that is not from me, dear God, but is from you. We ask, dear God, that it touched and pricks the hearts of your people this morning so we may draw closer ever unto you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Before we start off in the message this morning, I would like to have us turn to Hebrews 11. And I'm going to read a little bit from Hebrews 11, verses 29 to 35. Hebrews 11, verses 29 to 35. Are we all there? Okay. It says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness was made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women's received their dead rise to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. I would like to say this morning, start off with saying that faith comes from hearing the word of God, proving with or by his authority. Faith is trust in God and in his sure word. There is no do-it-yourself salvation. And there is faith, and it says that faith is, no one can be saved except by faith, and there is no do-it-yourself salvation. God alone can do the impossible and save sinners. However, church, all do not hear the word of God and believe it. And in fact, to those who are dying and unbelievers, people that are walking in darkness, do not hear the word of God. But God's wisdom, God's word is considered to be foolishness to them. In fact, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1 and 23, we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews, and foolishness to the Greeks. He also states, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. 1 Corinthians 2 and 14. Church, true foolishness is the wisdom of man that excludes or eliminates God. Man has no plans of God in his life. He has no direction or blessings from God. So in fact, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1 and 20, where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the philosopher or the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? But thank God, he opened our eyes to see the wisdom and our foolishness, his wisdom and our foolishness. Do you think that we're here this morning because it was around our court? It is because of God allowed it to be so. My prayer this morning is, may God grant us continuous faith to believe in the foolishness of the gospel, thus it enable us to be saved forever. A person with saving faith believes continuously, not just one time at the beginning. The Christian life is continuously living by faith in God, in His Word, and believing and acting on that Word in each and new situations. We see this in Hebrews 11, verses 29 and 31. It speaks about the foolishness of Christian faith, especially as seen in the faith of Israel crossing the Red Sea on their way to Canaan. It speaks about the faith of Israel that caused the fall of the walls of Jericho. And it speaks about the faith of Rahab that secured her salvation. In reading Hebrews 11:29, it is by faith Israel crossed the Red Sea. Faith is not a leap in the dark or an irrational thought-out hunch. Faith rests securely in God and in His particular revelation in which He gives us the victory over. So as we read in Exodus 14 and 5, we see that Pharaoh changed his mind after he said to the people of Israel to leave Israel, to leave Egypt. The people of Israel could leave Egypt. People change their minds all the time. This is true not only of unbelievers, but as believers as well. They say Jesus is Lord, but later change their mind. They will tell their spouses, honey, I will love you until death puts us apart, but they change their minds. They will join a church only to change their minds later. And they will agree to bring up their children in the nature and admiration of the Lord, and they will change their minds. But God, however, does not change His mind, and we can rest and stand on that truth. Amen? Pharaoh changed his mind and chased the fleeing Israelites and all his chariots in his army. Now, the Israelites had a problem. If we look at it as a situation as a natural man does, before them was the Red Sea. Behind them, the Egyptian army with their chariots. They were terrified by these problems and began to murmur and talk about Moses. But the Bible tells us in Exodus 14, verses 13 and 14, that Moses speaks to the people as God's prophet, just as God had commanded him to do. And this is what he says. He says, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm." That meant that they were to believe in God, whose eternal plan was to deliver them from Egypt and take them to the land flowing with milk and honey. "Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance that the Lord will bring you today." Then Moses said, "The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again." Church, when God comes, He judges those who will not believe in Him, and He saves those who believe in Him. Moses goes on to say, "The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." My question this morning is, who will be still for God this morning? Who will persevere in the time when we need to be tested? Then Scripture tells us in verse 15 that the Lord Himself said, "Tell the Israelites to go forward." But the question is, how could they go forward? The Red Sea was in front of them. And here is what we must understand, church. When God delivers us, He will always tell us to go forward. We may not see a foot or an inch ahead of us, but if God say to go forward, we are to go forward. Amen? He is not a God who does not understand the problems we are facing and who, once He sees a problem, says, "I'm sorry, you have to go back. I did not know there was a Red Sea or the Amalekites or the wilderness or the lack of food in the desert or how hard it would be to cross the Jordan at flood stage." God understands all things. Isaiah says He knows the end from the beginning. Isaiah 46 and 10. So God instructed Moses. He says, "Rise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide it so that the Israelites can go through the sea on a dry ground." That's Exodus 14 and 16. In this miracle, God gained glory for Himself. Jesus Christ gains glory for Himself by salvation and by the judgment. But God gains glory because He triumphs in every situation. God's instruction to Moses sounds foolish, but this is the truth of the gospel, church, which sounds foolish to natural man. How can God dry up the sea so the Israelites could go through them? How can God defeat the mighty Egyptian army and his chariots? These questions are appropriate if we are speaking about a God who's bound by nature. But our God is a God of miracles, amen? He created the whole world out of nothing and sustained it by the word of his power. He breathed because we breathe, because he enables us to breathe so. The God of Israel is infinite person. He's the creator of heaven and earth. And our faith is just reasonable. Church, it is just reasonable when we realize who our God is. All enemies shall fall dead before him. Jesus said in Matthew 16 and 18, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church that Jesus Christ built. Church, all obstacles shall be removed when God moves. When God leads, he says, go forward. He never tells us to go backward because of the unseen enemies or obstacles. He delivers us from the city of destruction and leads us from the city to the city of God. He defeats all our enemies because our enemies are his enemies. Amen? We are children of God. So he says, therefore, we do not have to be afraid of any situation. Believe God and go forward, and the Lord will fight for us and have victory over his enemies. So the Lord made a dry pathway for his people, and they passed through the Red Sea. Exodus 14, verses 21 and 22. But before that, church, the angels of the Lord moved from in front of the people and went behind the Egyptian army of Israel. You see, God was now between his people and their enemies. Scripture tells us that there was darkness in it for the Egyptians, but light for the Israelites. You know, what mighty God do we serve? Our enemies cannot touch us without first defeating our God. We are Christ and held up by his hands. Who can snatch us out of those hands? Neither death nor life or anything else can separate us from God's everlasting love. We are all conquerors, more than conquerors, through him who loved us, loves us, and will love us forever. When we see Exodus 14, verses 30 and 31, that the Egyptians were defeated and drowned, and they were told that not one of them survived. That day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore, is what the Bible said. And when the Egyptians and when the Israelites saw that the great power the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in his servant Moses. Church, to God be the glory, great things he has done. Scriptures tell us in Exodus 14, verses 24 and 25, that during that morning watch, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and of cloud at the Egyptian army and threw them into confusion. God just looked down upon them. And the Bible says he took off the wheels of their chariots. I believe that the Egyptians became stuck in the mud with their chariots. One look is all that was necessary to defeat God's enemies. Church, if you are facing obstacles this morning, I hope we can all be encouraged by this message. Zechariah 4:6 tells us, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. This mountain shall be removed, the sea shall dry up, and the wall shall come down for you, because we are his. God loves you. God tells us to go forward, led by his spirit, in the path of righteousness. We see in Hebrews 11:30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell, and after the people had marched around them for 7 days. You know, church, the king of Jericho heard how the God of Israel defeated the king of Egypt 40 years before. But the king thought he would not be defeated. As he saw the Israelites approaching the city, he refused to surrender and ask for peace. He was very confident that he could triumph over the God of Israel. You see, Jericho was the gateway city to Canaan. It had fresh water. It had plenty of food stored up. And when we read in Joshua 6:1, it says that the city was tightly shut up. The city was impregnable. You know, the Jerichoites were in war mode. They were ready for battle on that day. And the Bible says, as Joshua was inspecting the towering walls and wondering what to do, the commander of the Lord came to Joshua. An angel came to him. And God gave Joshua instructions that would sound foolish to those who do not believe in God. The Lord said to Joshua, he said, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with his king and his fighting men, march around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days, he said. Have 7 priests carry the trumpets of ram horns in front of the ark. And on the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the horns. And when you hear them sound the long blast of the trumpets, have all the people give a loud shout and say, Jesus. And here's the truth of the gospel, church. Then the walls of the city will collapse and all the people will go up. Every man straight in is what the Bible says. Church, this gospel may sound foolish. And I am sure that the Jericho Heights looked at the Israelites and started laughing. Look at those fools, they probably said. They're marching around doing nothing. They have no battering rams. They're just marching around. And yet, this was the wisdom of God. By faith, the Israelites strictly obeyed the directions. And finally, on the 7th day, the trumpets sounded, the people shouted, and the walls collapsed. I want to tell you this morning that God is a warrior who comes as a commander of the army of Israel. He wins every battle he fights. Amen. Who will we stand against the infinite God, the personal almighty God? If we are arrogant, we shall fall as the walls did in due time. And not even the gates of hell shall prevail against God's people. We find this in Matthew 16. My question this morning is to you, church, are you with God? Because if you are with him, then he is with you, and you shall enjoy his victory. As God's people, we must believe, and all walls shall fall down, and we shall go forward in victory. In every incident, in every trial, in everything that we do, God will rise us, amen. He will rise us to the top. David said, with God's help, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can leap over a wall. He says that in Psalms 18 and 29. And finally, we are told that by faith, Rahab was saved. We see that in Hebrews 30, chapter 11 and 31. You see, Rahab was a Gentile woman, a prostitute of Jericho. Yet, amazingly, Rahab was saved from destruction by grace. Paul tells us where sin increased, grace increased all the more. Romans 5 and 20. Paul tells us, church, there is no difference between Jew and Gentile, slave or free. God saves all. Whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, that the tax collector and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. Matthew 21 and 31. Church, Rahab was saved because she welcomed 2 spies, hid them, and sent them away freely. She did so because she believed in the God of Israel and his saving power. Jesus said, he who welcomes you welcomes me, and he who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Matthew 10 and 40. Rahab welcomed, she believed, and she trusted. No one preached the gospel to this woman. She never heard about the gospel. She heard it little by little from the news of 40 years before and of recent times. News concerning the God of Israel and his victories over his enemies. That's how Rahab heard about God. And you know, church, faith comes by hearing the gospel. Rahab heard the gospel, believed it, and confessed it. We as Christians got to totally believe God's word and bank on it with our last money that God will do what he says he will do. The Bible tells us in Joshua 2, 9 and 11, that Rahab spoke to the 2 spies and said, I know that the Lord has given this land to you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above all, the earth and beneath it. And the people of Jericho worship the moon god. That's who they worship. But Rahab believed in the true and only one living God. Amen. But Rahab acknowledged that God of Israel is the true God who created the heavens and the earth and who defeated the Egyptians. And not only did Rahab believe and confess, but she also prayed. We look at Joshua 2, verses 12 and 13. She is asking only for mercy, for she recognizes that she's a wicked sinner. And this is what she says, church. Now, then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family, because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sign that you will spare the lives of my father and my mother, my brother and my sister, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. Rahab, church, you know, Rahab's prayers was answered. He says, "Our life for your lives," the man promised her. "If you do not tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land." So she let them down by a rope through the window. We see that in verse 14. Then the men told her, "This oath that you made us swear will not be binding on unless when we enter the land, you have tied this scarlet cord in the window through which you have let us down, and unless you have brought your father and your mother, your brothers and your family, into your house." You know, church, faith obeys, and Rahab obeyed the instructions of the spies. We do not obey God. We have no saving faith if we don't believe God. Rahab tied the scarlet cord just as she was told in the window, collected all her family, and remained in her house. Right after the collapse of the walls of Jericho, Joshua said to the men, to the two men who had spied out the land, he said, "Go into the prostitute's house and bring her out and all who belong to her in accordance with the oath to her." Rahab was saved by her faith, church. Jesus says, "For the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violence take it by force." We must not mistake what this verse is telling us. This verse means that people are saved by saving faith. When we believe in Christ, when we do what Christ says, God will always stand on his word. We must be persistent and bold in serving our God. Amen? It says, "Action will be given to you." It says, "Seek and you will find it." It says, "Knock and the door will be opened to you." In other words, it says, keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. We must not be timid when it comes to our salvation. Amen? Amen. When the blind Bartimaeus was told to be quiet, he refused and cried out even louder. He said, "Jesus." He said, "Son of David." He said, "Have mercy upon me." And as a result, a miracle took place that day. It was greater than the miracle of the sun standing still in the heavens this morning. Jesus stood still and asked him. He told Bartimaeus, he says, "What do you want me to do for you?" "I want to see," Bartimaeus said. And Jesus healed him right away. Church, I want to let you know that this morning that the gospel comes to nobodies and they believe. Amen. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 to 29. "Brothers," he said, "think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise men by standards. Not many were influential. Not many were noble. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise." Amen. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things, and that the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that one may not boast before himself. Church, our God is the only one who can lift us up in any high standard through his amazing grace. It is not we ourselves, but that is he that is in us. Amen. That we have victory. We just sang that song this morning. Faith is the victory. Amen. That overcomes the world. You know, that is the main part. If we believe on God's word, on this word, we will have victory every time, all the time, in Jesus. All the Jerichoites heard that gospel, the gospel as Rahab did, but they refused to believe and surrender to the God of Israel. In Hebrews, if we look at Hebrews 11 and 31, it says, "By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed and with those who were disobedient." In my conclusion this morning, let us all live by faith. As Christians, we will all face fiery trials of faith in our lives. We cannot escape them. We may be terrified at first, but we must know that God is with us in all our trials. He is before us, he is behind us, and all around us. He is for us, he is in us, and we are in him. And we can be secure in God's word. Amen. Church, God will fight our battles, for he is a warrior. War is his business. That is why he says to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Therefore, he says, let the Egyptian army pursue and let the gates of Jericho be tightly shut. But God will win every war and gain glory for himself. When God tells us to go forward, the Red Sea shall split open to make the path dry for us, and the walls of Jericho shall fall. When God is with us, we shall go forward through all the battles to the holy city. Amen. Therefore, we must trust God and do not fear. All, he says, all in his promises shall be fulfilled. All God's promises shall be filled. Only believe, and he will rise us up on that last day. Church, we must take heed to the morning, to this morning for the gospel. He who is in us is greater than he is in the world. And our faith in God and in his word is the victory that overcomes the world. May God bless you this morning, and may he keep us strong in his faith, because time is running short. We are in the ending days, and it's going to take God and his Holy Spirit for us to stand, because he says Satan comes to destroy everything. And unless we have God in our hearts and in our minds and in our souls and the very blood that's pumping through our body, we will fall. We must, now is the time that when things come our way, we must trust in God, because we're building that temple of faith, that structure of faith. So when time really comes, and it's soon to come, that we can stand on God's word and be victorious and rise, amen, on that last day. May God bless you and keep you together, and keeping his word and prayer, because time, now is the time to be on our knees, to be praying for God. Amen. Amen. May God bless you this morning. May we all close our eyes in prayer, please. Oh, Heavenly Father, dear God, we thank you so much for this holy Sabbath hour. We thank you for your word. And Lord, we cannot thank you so much for all the blessings you bestowed upon us. But dear God, as we come together today, we give you up to lift you up and to praise and honor your word. We ask that this message today, dear God, may prick our hearts. Help us to draw us closer unto thee all through the week and until you come, Lord. Bless us with increasing faith, double portions of faith. So when trials and temptations come our way, dear God, we have something to lean back for, something to remember how you've always brought us in victory. Lord, we thank you for your marvelous plan of salvation. And as we leave this place, dear God, we ask that you may watch over us, cover us, put your hand on us, that we may be able to all come together again at your appointed time and worship you even more. We thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.